Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Feel good this winter by getting the flu vaccine at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, we've just been hearing about the impact of Storm Daniel in Libya and that insufficient infrastructure in place to deal with those extreme weather conditions. And what we're going to talk about next is not unrelated, because on Friday, the Psychological Society of Ireland hosts a conference dealing with the psychological barriers to dealing with climate change. And amongst the issues to be discussed, they're going to examine how difficult it can be to change the habits of a lifetime in order to benefit the environment. And to tell us more about it, I'm joined by Dr. Orrin McCarthy, their president-elect. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Our last item certainly brings it home why we need to have these conversations, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's harrowing news, really, isn't it, to listen to kind of catastrophe that's occurring over there at the moment. Absolutely. I agree with you entirely.
Go ahead.
Well, I was actually struck by one of the commentators there talking about it, having personal experience of it, talking about the idea that it's not a time to blame. The idea that the dams were poorly constructed and that the government knew about it and didn't act. While all that is correct, I think if it any way takes away from the kind of the key message that we need to deal with climate, I'm always a bit reluctant to kind of focus on that. And I kind of agree with that man entirely. At this moment in time, we need to consider the victims at the moment and also the larger picture of climate change and the impact it's having.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not a time to blame, but certainly for the rest of us, yeah, it's a time to plan. And you believe that psychology can help in terms of facilitating behavioural change, Orrin?
Correct, yes. I think it's one of the things that has actually fascinated us in more recent times, where we're very aware. I mean, all the studies kind of suggest that people know about it and express concern about it. The figures are quite high with respect to that. But when it comes to actually changing our behaviour in order to address the issue, there's a real lag behind that. There's a real gap in that area where we know, but we're not acting.
So we're concerned about climate change, but we're not motivated to do anything about it. Is that it?
Yes, or we engage in all kinds of mental activities in order to somehow distance ourselves from the whole thing, in order to not have to act, because changing behaviours can be quite difficult, as you pointed out there in your introduction. We can get into habits about stuff, or we can get ideas about how the world should be and how life should be and how life size should be. And I think that challenges that in some ways. Mentally we have to deal with that.
So what is the problem then? Is it that our brains are more concerned with what we perceive to be immediate threats rather than what we think are future risks?
Well, absolutely. I mean, from an evolution point of view, yes, the human brain has been designed to kind of deal with more immediate threats. Because that's where the larger dangers were throughout most of our evolutionary history. So yes, absolutely. But there's also a sense that threats create anxiety, absolutely. But how imminent are they, or how close they are? So there's a real sense of distance sometimes with these kind of things here. So, climate change is it's happening in some ways, but some sense that the real impact won't happen until distant into the future, or it's distant. So it's distant in time, or it can be distant in location. So it's happening in Libya, it's not happening up here. So it happens to other people in some ways, or it's distant in terms of our personal daily life. So nothing's happened to me today or yesterday or tomorrow. And therefore, it might be happening to people somewhere else, but it's, again, distance. And when it's distance, we can kind of disengage from it much more easily, not be concerned and carry on as normal.
Mm-hmm. And you see, our geographical location plays into this and all the projections we've heard about climate change because of where we're situated and because of our mild climate, we're not going to get the worst of it. Do you think that makes us feel more at ease about climate change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think the term has been used, climate privilege. We're privileged to live in the political place here at the moment. And also you'll have people then using actual climate change to see it as a positive thing. Oh, we're going to have milder winters, we're going to have more sunshine. And so it's almost kind of can be twisted into a positive thing as part of that kind of denial process.
Mm-hmm. So what are you trying to do then with this conversation that you're having on Friday?
We're trying to draw attention to these kind of things, I suppose, and try largely, there's individual behaviour. an individual responsibility, and that's fine. And I think everyone has to take individual responsibility at some point. But anytime we rise, we have to be responsibilities. And we need to act in certain ways. But people, I think, rightly at some level say, well, what difference will my little impact make in the greater scheme of things, when you've got political systems and you've got the whole world acting in a certain way and kind of stuck in certain ways? I mean, the Libyan example there is an example. They knew about this stuff, but they didn't act. It's kind of a form of denial. It's almost like, yes, we know, but it's not as urgent as it's made out to be. So we distance it a little bit.
So you're talking about people who might say, well, why should I wash out my yogurt pot and put it into the recycling bin when you have China and India polluting on massive scales?
Yes. Now, just to recycling plastic, cleaning them out, it's a good thing to do. Absolutely. But on a scale, the bigger scale of things in terms of climate change, greenhouse gases, it's really, really quite minimal. So it's we're more looking at the kind of behavioural change would be around, and I'm going to get myself into trouble here, it's around, you know, short flights, aviation, mm-hmm. It's around meat and how much we eat of that. So the idea of reducing this and like the use of fossil fuels itself. And how frequently we use that. Are we taking the bus or are we driving with the car? With those kind of behaviour change, well, they are the ones who will make the significant change.
You're talking about the behaviour changes that are a little bit painful for people?
Oh, very painful. Which is why we're kind of reluctant to do it in some. It's painful for us all, yes. You know, I think we're living probably in the golden era of convenience. And the idea, and in some ways that seems to be the goal. Let's have life that's more convenient.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking here
to... just not compatible.
Are you talking to an older generation here? Because we know that the younger generation, those coming behind us, feel these things much more keenly and are perhaps more anxious about it and more willing to change.
Yes, I think they do. I mean, again, when we go back to denial and distance, you know, I'm in my 60s. And yes, I hear many of my kind of simulations, like, it won't matter to us. By the time it all kicks in, we'll be dead, which is kind of not the kind of the best, I suppose, stance today. I agree with you. The younger people, it's much more apparent to them in many ways. But they're still stuck in the same kind of psychological kind of constraints that we are. And they're still stuck with that kind of sense of what can we do and can we make a difference mm-hmm. at all. I mean, it is lovely to see it happening, and there's coinciding with our conferences, a kind of another that kind of Friday strike, that, you know, the Greta Thunberg thing that was there. Yeah. Where young people are taking the streets to Dublin on Friday, which is great to see. But the numbers are very small. I mean, I think we need larger movements of people. For things to generally happen. Mm-hmm. And as I say, yes, people are making individual changes, but I think we need to be more focused on policies and facilitating this change.
So it all needs to be a bit more radical. I mean, I'm struck by what you said there about living in this golden era of convenience. So you're saying we have to accept that things are not going to be as easy as they are now for us.
Yes. And therefore, all our policies should be aimed towards making it easier. So for example, at the moment, you know, simple things like getting a grant for an electric car or solar or whatever, it's a tedious process. Some people have engaged in and kind of thought, this is so hard to do, or trying to kind of reconfigure your land to kind of grow woodlands. It's very difficult. The whole system rolls against you, whereas, you know, polluting type behaviours at times are facilitated. We subsidise the airline industry. We facilitate it. We make it easy. Mm-hmm. So I think that those things need to change fundamentally in terms of people will change behaviour if it's convenient and easy and it makes sense to them.
Yeah, and
if you're going to make it really difficult.
If it makes financial sense too. That's very important.
Financially, yes. Yes, it is important. But ironically, not the most important. I think some of the recent research looking at people putting solar and air you know, pumps into their house, you know, the impact that it will have on the environment does play a role. Financially, yes, but not
with a certain cohort,
financial.
Though, Oran. But if you're living in a house where you can't afford the outlay on those things, which will make your life cleaner and greener, you're just not going to do it.
Yes.
And the grants are there, but you have to spend to get the grants.
Yes, which was a very, very at the point we would be making in terms of try. If you want the people to change their behaviour, you've got to facilitate it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it has to be made easier to do so, and the opposite to be the case as well. So if you want people on public transport, you've got to make it easier, more convenient. Whereas driving a car, you've got to make it more difficult. Now, I know I'm going to upset people when I say these things, but if we want those kind of changes to happen, we've got to reshape how we kind of motivate people.
Yeah, because you're dealing with like deeply ingrained behaviours. Take the example of burning
yes.
turf. You've been doing that your whole life. Your parents burned turf. Your grandparents burnt turf. And how difficult is it to persuade people? Now you're going to switch to solar panels.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And say burning turf. I love the smell of a turf fire. And part of me kind of kills me to kind of be going against this notion. Yes, but the reality is, you know, and in some ways we've a right to burn it if so. But we also need to have responsibility for what we're doing. I mean, when we think of the pandemic and the way the world changed around that, and the policies that were brought into place to make that happen. And
but
then you look at the
that's
figures.
Back, though, isn't it, to the immediate threat theory?
Yeah, but it absolutely. And but the reality was what over the 3 years up to recently, I think WHO have identified like 7 million people died from that. We also know that 7 million people per year die of air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's not out there in the kind of general awareness. So every time we're using petrol or diesel or unfortunately turf, it is damaging the air quality that we're all breathing, which is of concern.
Yeah, or taking flights, Oran, and I have a message here from a listener who says young people are still taking lots of flights and we need a huge shift in policy.
We do. We absolutely do. Because it's cheap. It's so cheap. So we're facilitating that kind of behaviour by making it so cheap. Whereas the more sustainable ones are more expensive, and they're the things we're kind of screaming at. We need to start thinking about how to change them if we want people's behaviour to change. And I also think I agree with you in terms of we have long established kind of cultures around stuff. Cultures are dynamic as well; they do change if we're facilitated to change. I mean, if you think back, we used to smoke indoors. Everywhere.
You wouldn't dream of doing it, or you'd be shocked if you saw someone doing it. All right, Oran, we'll leave it there. The conference is on Friday. I know that it's designed for the general public. People can find out more. It's 10 till 4 at Peer Street Library in Dublin. It's being run by the Psychological Society of Ireland. And that was Dr. Oran McCarthy. And thank you very much, Oran, for joining us. Back after this quick break.